Well, greetings and welcome back once again to our series on John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress. We left off last time at the end of the Valley of Humiliation as Christian goes through just a series of challenges and trials, and he does battle with the great devil Apollyon, the destroyer. And we said at the end of the last time that you would think that after going through so severe a trial that the Lord in his providence might give Christian an opportunity to rest a little bit, to have an easy path as he recovers from his battle wounds as he fought the devil in his battle against sin. But it's not so. Bunyan continues, now at the end of this valley, the Valley of Humiliation, was another called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And Christian must needs go through it because the way to the celestial city lay through the midst of it. There's no way through to the celestial city, through to the place of heaven, apart from going through the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And the Valley of the Shadow of Death in Pilgrim's Progress and for Bunyan is an image not necessarily of coming into the peril of almost dying, but battling despondency and despair and depression. I think this is very much autobiographical for Bunyan. I think if you read Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, which is Bunyan's sort of story of his own conversion, you see that he really struggled with the sinfulness of his previous life, and that caused him serious doubts as to whether he had committed the unpardonable sin, as to whether there were serious bouts with depression. And so Bunyan knew from personal experience what it was to go through times where he was not sensible of the Lord's fellowship and communion. Scripture talks about times like those where God seems to hide his face. We even sing about it. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. That means that those times do come. They do befall the genuine believer. And so Christian is about to go through this wilderness, this land of deserts and pits, a land of drought and of the shadow of death. And it says that now here Christian was worse put to it than in his fight with Apollyon, which is really quite something. And we've just heard of the battle, shrieks and groans that no man could tell unless they heard of them. And yet now you can't sit back and say, okay, battle with sin completed, now it's time for some rest. Oftentimes in a serious bout with sin, where battle is engaged, where blood is shed, so to speak, right following after it is about with depression, about with despair, about with wondering, is the Lord here with me? Am I his or am I not? And so here another trial follows immediately. And as soon as he comes close to this valley, there's somebody who comes running away in the opposite direction, saying, go back. You don't want any part of this. This is another point that Bunyan's making, that there are constant temptations to apostasy throughout the Christian life, and perhaps no more fierce than in the belly of despair. Give up. Lay down your arms. Go back to the comfortable life that you had before you took yourself onto this crazy journey to heaven, beset with all this difficulty against the grain of the world you're living in. Just stop, go back. The way is too dangerous. And Christian says, what's the matter? And he says, the way that you're going and went as far as we dared, when almost we're past coming back, if we had gone a little farther, we wouldn't have been here to bring news to you. We would have been consumed. And he says, well, what's there? What have you met with? And he says, the valley itself is dark as pitch. We saw there hobgoblins and satyrs, dragons of the pit. We heard also in that valley a continual howling and yelling as of a people under unutterable misery who sat there bound in affliction and irons. And over that valley hangs the discouraging clouds of confusion. Death also does always spread his wings over it. In a word, it is every whit dreadful, being utterly without order. It's chaos down there. You don't want to go down there. And interestingly, Christian's response is really quite wonderful. He says, "Well, I perceive not yet by what you've said, but that this is my way to the desired haven." So what? I mean, you've described some dangers there and some difficult things in the way, but this is the way to heaven. Who cares what's in the way? Hobgoblins and satyrs and dragons. Who cares what's there if through this path lies my eternal rest and happiness? And I think that that's the attitude that we all need to go into trials with, especially into trials that bring us low in the valley of humiliation and that even bring us to despair in the valley of the shadow of death. I must needs go into this valley, Bunyan says at the beginning, because through this valley is the path to heaven. And if that's what I'm going to, if that's the end that I'm sure to enjoy, then whatever it is that I have to face, I will face. And the guy says, "Okay, fine, it's your way, it's not mine, I'm leaving." And you'd hope that that would be Christian's mind frame throughout the entire valley. But the things that he encounters are so grievous that it's a trial and a struggle for him. Bunyan says, "Then I saw in my dream, so far as this valley reached, there was on the right hand a very deep ditch, and on the left hand a very dangerous quag, into which if even a good man falls, he finds no bottom for his foot to stand on." So you see the narrow way. It's a narrow path, and on the right there's a deep ditch, and on the left there's a dangerous quag. And he says, even David once fell into this quag and had no doubt therein been smothered, if not he that is able plucked him out. David almost fell into this, and he would have stayed there unless God had plucked him out. What's he talking about? I think he's talking about that time of despair of the Lord's countenance when he said, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." David had sinned grievously, and his sin led him to the absence of a sense of God's presence with him, as sin is wont to do. And David faced despair. This is the darkness of a lack of assurance of salvation. This is the darkness and the despondency that comes when you have the lack of the light of God's presence. You hear that all throughout the Psalms, right? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Coming back from the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6, this blessing that was a staple of Israel's blessing, that defined blessing for Israel as they wandered through to the promised land. It gets repeated all throughout the Psalms. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Bless us. Make your face to shine upon us. And there are times when God doesn't do that, where he doesn't answer that prayer, and indeed, when he seems to withdraw the light of his face. And that's where Christian's going to walk. Again, an exceeding narrow path. And he was in the dark, and so without the light of God's face, he's got to be careful of the ditch on the one hand and the mire on the other. When you have the absence of any sensible comfort, when you have the absence of the sense of the Lord's nearness, that he's far off and that he's hiding his face, it is terrible. It's a narrow path between a ditch and a quag. And he says, Bunyan says, "I perceived the mouth of hell to be in the midst of this valley, and I saw flame and smoke coming out of this ditch, and hideous noises." And Bunyan says, these are things that cared not for Christian's sword, as Apollyon did before. You remember before, as Christian battled Apollyon the Destroyer, he put him to flight with a thrust of his sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Here, Bunyan says, those sparks and hideous noises and flames and smoke that seemed to be hell itself, they didn't care for Christian's sword. He could call Scripture to mind. He could go to the Scriptures. And there were actually, despair was such that it didn't matter. And we understand that, any of us who have gone through something similar, those of us acquainted with despondency, that we do force ourselves to go to the Word of God and to experience comfort from there, and to fight the lies of despair and despondency with the truth of the Scriptures. And yet we can be in such a state that even those don't work, that even the Scriptures give no comfort when depression is that deep. And so what does he say? It says, he was forced to put up his sword, to put it aside, and betake himself to another weapon called all prayer. And so sometimes the only weapon that we have against depression and despair and despondency, we can't even lift our hands to get to the scripture. We have to simply cry out for help. Lord, help me. I have no idea where to go, what to do. I can't see 3 feet in front of me. I've got the ditch on the one side, the mire on the other. God, help. And Christian prays, oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Prayer is sometimes the only weapon we've got. We better use it. We better employ that weapon. And he says, it says sometimes he had half a thought to go back, but then again, he thought that he might be halfway through the valley. I'm just going to go back. I'm going back to the city of destruction. I'm not going through to the celestial city. But then he's thinking to himself, but you know what? Maybe the worst is over, and maybe I'm halfway through. I've already gone through this much trouble. I might as well press forward. And then it says he remembered also how he had already vanquished many a danger, and that the danger of going back might be much more than for to go forward. And this is Bunyan telling the weary pilgrim in the midst of despair, press forward, keep on, ahead, forward, don't go back. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 10, where the Hebrew Christians were dealing with some significant trials. And the writer of Hebrews is encouraging those suffering saints not to go back to Judaism and denounce Christ and so find a place of ease within Judaism, because Rome wasn't persecuting the Jews at that point. They were persecuting the Christians. And the author of Hebrews 10:32 says, "But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." Think about those earlier days when you endured great conflict and endure still more. You need great confidence because your reward is great. Don't go back. Don't shrink back to destruction. Keep pushing. And that's the truth that we need to preach to ourselves and pray to ourselves in the midst of despair and despondency. You have a very great reward that lies ahead of you. You've endured these things before. Keep forward. Don't shrink back. And so it says, for Christian, it says, the fiends seemed to come nearer and nearer, the demons, the devils. But when they were come even almost at him, he cried out with a most vehement voice, "I will walk in the strength of the Lord God." And so those demons gave back and came no further. Greater is he who is in you, 1 John 4:4, than he who is in the world. And when we do battle with demons, as the case may be, when we do battle with the weakness of our flesh and the terrors of despair, we need to preach truth to us. I will walk in the strength of the Lord, and remember that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And then Bunyan talks about one thing. He says, one thing I don't want to miss, I don't want to let slip, is that at times Christian didn't even know his own voice, that there were demons who came to him and thoughts that came into his mind, he says, which he verily thought had proceeded from his own mind. This put Christian more to it than anything he met with before, even to think that he should now blaspheme him that loved him so much before. Yet if he could have helped it, he wouldn't have done it, because he had not the discretion either to stop his ears or to know whence from those blasphemies came. He's saying that the demons came and whispered in Christian's ear and caused him to think blasphemous thoughts, to think hard things of God, to curse God even, and to complain of the way that he has been on. And Bunyan is saying Christian didn't realize that those weren't thoughts arising out from his own soul, but that they were planted there by these enemies of his soul, that Satan had suggested them into his mind. Now, this isn't saying that Satan overpowers the mind of the believer or that possesses the believer. It's just saying that sometimes we're insensible of the fact that the terrible thoughts that we have don't arise natively from within our own heart, it being renewed by the Spirit, but sometimes it comes externally from the enemies of our souls. And so we need to remember that in that moment, if we're speaking perverse things to our minds, if we are surprising ourselves with the things that are going through our mind and in our heart, remember that this is not who God has remade you to be, and that there is an enemy who's after you. And you can endure those blasphemies, the idea that you have a temptation to despair further, right? How could I, in the midst of my despair, respond with such blasphemies? And yet that only makes me further into despair. And Bunyan is trying to help the weary pilgrim. He's trying to say, sometimes those come not from you, but from your enemy. And it's a means of comfort. Well, as Christian has gone through this disconsolate condition, Bunyan says, some considerable time, he thought he heard a voice of a man going before him, saying the words of Psalm 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear none ill, for thou art with me." Christian hears somebody else's voice, and immediately he realizes somebody else is here. And the text says he was glad, and that for three reasons. First, because he gathered from thence that some who feared God were in this valley as well as himself. I'm not alone. And if there's anything that we need in the midst of despair and despondency, it's to know I'm not alone, that there are other faithful pilgrims on this road with me, in this bog with me. And it's an encouragement to those of us who have gone through the valley of the shadow of death, who have dealt with the pain of the absence of the sense of God's face, to be speaking scripture and speaking truth to those who are in the same condition, so that we can be an encouragement to them. Secondly, he perceived that God was with them, though in that dark and dismal state. God was with that other man because he's speaking the truth of Scripture and getting comfort to himself. And he says, and why not, if he's with that guy, why not with me? Surely God is with me as well. And so as we go through trials and we endure them faithfully and have the confidence that we can derive from Scripture, when we show confidence in the midst of trial, we encourage others who might not be able to have that confidence or be sensible of that confidence, that somebody at least does have that, and so God is with them, and so God can be with me also. And then thirdly, he hoped to have company. Maybe I can catch up to that guy, and now I won't be alone, and we could have the joys of fellowship. Christian fellowship in the midst of trial and difficulty and even despair is such a cause for revival out of that condition, a cause for gladness, Bunyan says. And note, then he was glad, and that for these reasons. What's that saying? That's saying that gladness comes as a fruit of reason. In the midst of despair, we're often not reasonable. We're often thinking, oh, how could I have gotten myself into this mess? And then I respond in a way that is derogatory toward God, and that pushes me further into despair. And it's just this downward spiral of depression that we just seem to not be able to get out of. But what is Bunyan telling us? He's saying, reason with yourself. Preach to yourself. Consider the truth. Think on these things. When, you know, Martin Lloyd-Jones's book, Spiritual Depression, long regarded as a Christian classic and a help to those who were given to despondency. But Martin Lloyd-Jones says, one of the greatest causes of depression is that we listen to ourselves rather than talk to ourselves. People say today, if you talk to yourself, you're crazy. But Lloyd-Jones would say, if you listen to yourself, you're crazy. Don't listen to your heart. Preach to your heart. Preach to yourself. Reason with yourself. And your affections will follow reason. They will follow the preaching of truth. You think rightly, and then you begin to feel rightly. And so Christian comforted himself with these three reasons. Well, eventually then the day breaks. The darkness lifts. God comes again and takes away the darkness and brings the light of his countenance. And Christian turns around to see where he'd come through, not because he was desirous of going back, Bunyan says, but because he wanted to see by the light of day what hazards he had gone through in the dark. And we do that as Christians. We reflect upon the trial that we have gone through, the despair that we had experienced once God's countenance has returned to us, once we've been made sensible of his fellowship once again, so that we can avoid having to go through that path further in the future, or at least if we have to go through it, how we can fight against it, because now we see it by the light of truth. And it says, he feared those things more before, but he saw them more clearly now. Interesting, right? You'd think if they were genuinely fearful, a clearer sight of them would bring more fear. But it doesn't. It's in the darkness that brings the fear, and in the light that you see that things weren't actually as bad, perhaps, as you thought they were. Or at the very least, now with the light of God's help, you can get through them with less difficulty. And it says there were greater troubles to come through the second part of the valley. It says this second part, which he was yet to go, was, if possible, far more dangerous. There were snares and traps and gins and nets and pits and pitfalls and deep holes and shelvings that if it had been dark, he surely would have lost his life. But now in the light, it says, his candle shineth on my head, and by his light I go through darkness. I can face difficulty with the light of God's help, with the light of his face. Well, it says, in this light, therefore, he came to the end of the valley, and Bunyan saw in his dream that at the end of the valley lay blood, bones, ashes, and mangled bodies of men, even of pilgrims that had gone this way formerly. And while I was musing what should be the reason, I espied before me a little before me a cave where two giants were. What's he saying? He's saying there are some who go through despair and they don't make it out. And you see the blood, bones, ashes, and mangled bodies of men who perished, died for their despair. And as a little postscript, he speaks of these two giants whom he names Pope and Pagan, who dwelt in this cave, by whose power and tyranny the men whose bones, blood, and ashes, etc., lay there and were cruelly put to death. Interesting. Pope and Pagan. Romanism, Roman Catholicism, and paganism, secular religion, idolatry. And he's saying that these realities, Pope and Pagan, Romanism and Paganism, were the church's great enemies in 17th century Protestantism, where Bunyan had his experience. And these two systems of thought, Roman Catholicism and paganism, are the ministers of despair. Bunyan is telling us that there is no hope in those two worldviews. Roman Catholicism, by placing so much emphasis on earning righteousness, only contributes to despair. And paganism, having no hope of salvation, no gospel at all, by which God himself relieves man's burden by grace, these realities cause men to despair. A wonderful little flourish by Bunyan, almost as a postscript to the Valley of Humiliation. Well, then Christian gets himself through, and he sings once again. He says, "O world of wonders, I can say no less that I should be preserved in that distress that I have met with here. O blessed be that hand from it that hath delivered me. Blessed be God's hand that has delivered me from this despair. Dangers in darkness, devils, hell, and sin did compass me while I this veil was in. Yea, snares and pits and traps and nets did lie my path about, that worthless, silly I might have been catched, entangled, and cast down. But since I live, let Jesus wear the crown." See, he's saying Christ must be exalted. He must rule and reign over my life. I will go through whatever pits and valleys I must go through. I will endure whatever temptations and whatever despairs and depressions I have to endure, even the valley of the shadow of death, because through this valley of the shadow of death lies the path to eternal life. And in my sufferings, Jesus can be exalted. Whether I live or whether I die, Paul says, that Christ would be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, because to me, To live is Christ, and to die is gain. I hope that's your same outlook through the trials of temptation and despair, that Christ must be magnified in either one, that he's worthy, that heaven is worth pressing forward towards. We never go back. We always press forward.